John's letter tells his readership he's writing to them as people of faith, so that they may know that they have eternal life. John certainly thinks this is worth writing about, and it should be good news to our ears too. But it's hard for us to imagine what eternal life looks like. Everything we know and understand, and into which context we process every new concept, is geared around the here and now. What does that look like, feel, smell, touch, taste like? How do I feel emotionally about that experience? Does it make me happy or sad, positive or negative about life? If we start to try and imagine a long period of time, which is probably how many of us think of eternity, because we can only think in a chronological time frame, then we can start to wonder if we want to be part of eternity after all. If you picture Stonehenge in your mind, most of us, if not all of us, will have driven past Stonehenge on that busy A303. Of course, if we're lucky, it would have been a fleeting glimpse as we whiz past. If we're unlucky, we may have had a very long look as we move past in a stop-start fashion. Some of us may even have paid to visit and get a bit closer still to look at those stones. And in bygone years, you could actually go right up to the stones and get that understanding of how big they were by comparison to you. The stones have been in place for some 4,500 years. Most of us, I imagine, that's longer than we can envisage even for eternity. They've been there so long, there's no one who knows what their purpose was. And considering all the effort that people must have gone to get the stones in place, that's quite disappointing. The stones have a story of sorts to tell, but they cannot do so as they are simply stones, albeit big stones. Picture now a very old yew tree. Many of you will have seen yew trees. Some of them may be extremely old. I am aware of a yew tree in a churchyard in Crowhurst in Surrey, which I know well because it's the final resting place of my mother and brother in their graveyard there. Their grave is under the arching shadow of a yew tree that has been growing for more than 4,000 years. Clearly, the tree was there before the church. This tree was living and growing even before Christ walked on earth. These days, it admittedly needs a bit of support for some of those old and aging branches. And it's probably not been greatly helped by the fact that 200 years or so ago, the locals hollowed out the middle of the tree trunk and subsequently made it into a meeting place, which they even put a little door onto the side of the tree for. Nonetheless, this tree continues to live and grow and know its place in the world. When you think of eternal life, though, what, I wonder, do you think of? We all have moments, I imagine, when we idly ponder what heaven might be like, this place where we get to be forever. And if we're honest, imagining that as a cloud-like place in the sky with angels singing and playing harps, as artists and filmmakers alike seem to want us to imagine it, it possibly does not really inspire us to think more closely about it. We don't get a description of what eternal life looks like for the future, but we do get an understanding of the fact that eternal life begins with us and our actions, our response to the knowledge of Christ's love for us. And as we've looked through John's letter, we've been given a clear picture that we're to love one another. We're to do so because Jesus first loved us, and he showed his love by the things he said and the acts of kindness he carried out for others. In the gospel reading, we hear Jesus praying for his disciples that they would be protected from the evil one whilst they're still in the world. And if we were to have started our Bible passage just a little bit earlier than where we did, we would find that Jesus is looking up towards heaven. He's praying to God and noting that he says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." When we focus our eyes on Jesus, we're less likely to be distracted by the temptations of the world that seek to undermine our humanity as we trample on others to get the things we believe we want and need. You know, we're those same disciples today, and Jesus speaks those words over us too, that we might have eternal life knowing God and Jesus who was sent into the world. Jesus sent to show us how we might love one another and in so doing live protected from the evil one. John's letter tells us that Jesus is the one who gives us life. Jesus gives us life in this world and eternal life beyond. We may not be able to comprehend the eternal life beyond, but we can certainly grasp what it means to live the life of Jesus now. To live the life of Jesus is to understand that everything we do now is a foretaste of the promise of what is to come. Living a life of kindness and compassion for the created world we've been given to steward and care for in our time is to get just a tiny inkling of the much more beautiful eternal life we're offered through the love of Christ. There are so many ways we can begin to live that eternal life, and we begin with our immediate neighbourhood, loving and caring about the people we see every day as we go out and about, caring about the people we work with, the people we worship alongside, caring about the people who care for us as they go about their work in the supermarket, at the doctor's surgery, delivering our online shopping and things. When we hold a door open for another person to pass through, when we wave a hand to acknowledge the fact they stopped and waited for us to cross the road on the zebra crossing, when we speak to the person emptying the street litter bins, all of that is to give us a tiny inkling of what eternal life is about. On a wider scale, perhaps we have a passion for justice for the hungry and homeless or the refugee, a passion for climate change that impacts others disproportionately and to the detriment of their work and family life, a passion to support those who are caring and struggling to look after family members affected by physical or mental illness, or maybe just struggling as parents with family life in a COVID world. And here's the thing, you know, all these things that God gives us a passion about, he also gives us a heart to bring about change. And that's why the church is full of opportunities to connect with others, wherever it is around us in the world. We find things like the True Living Centre that Rosie's established in Heckfield, the children's activities online later this morning at Messy Church, Bumps and Babes, Fingerprints, not to mention the food bank and the lunch club and our cafe when we're able to operate again. It is why we stop and analyse our shopping to check if the packaging can be recycled, you know, and to think about the air miles that might have been used up in delivering these goods and which will have contributed to global warming. We might even consider whether the purchase is actually necessary, or are we simply overindulging ourselves at the expense of others less fortunate? We are part of the living love of God expressed perfectly in Jesus. Jesus, who is described by the disciple Peter as the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. A living stone that can be seen and understood in the world today, not as a monument like Stonehenge, whose purpose is no longer understood, but as a creation with life and purpose. When we connect with that, we become like living stones, and we are built into a spiritual house that serves its community with love. When we consider eternal life, we should remember that we are invited to remain in Jesus, the true vine who nourishes us and nurtures us. And like the yew tree of 4,000 years plus, we can provide a living, loving place of safety and shelter for those who long for good news and hope in their life today, but which becomes for them the start of eternal life. Amen.